Blog Talk Radio.
The John Daly Show, Sports.
And hi, everyone. Welcome to week four of the NFL. We have your fantasy picks. We look at some of the 3-0 teams. Are they for real? And those 0-3 teams, are they done? Quarterback injuries hurting the league. And is the NFL becoming more like Major League Baseball at the trade deadline? Joining me, as always, is Eric Schneider, our NFL expert. He is the author of a book on the Raiders and Raider Nation. You can also hear him on the Power Hour on Fox Sports Radio 1340 in Las Vegas. Wojcik, welcome back.
Thanks, John.
Got a lot to cover, so let's begin with tonight's Thursday night tilt. Ravens versus the Steelers in Pittsburgh. Ravens could go 0-4, but the Steelers, they lose Big Ben for at least 4 weeks with that knee injury. I got the Ravens in this one over Michael Vick and the Steel Curtain. I also think the loss of linebacker Ryan Shazier, I think that's big too. What do you think?
I totally agree with you, and I think the fact that Michael Vick is 3-12 in his last 15 starts is the reason why you're a backup at any point in your career, is because you're not good enough to be a starter. And the Ravens, the problem with the Ravens this year is their offense is very explosive, but who would ever think that their defense would be one of the worst in the league? Can't stop anybody. Their pass defense is horrific. They're not going to have to deal with that today. I don't think Michael Vick's going to light it up. I like the Ravens in a 14-12 type of game.
Okay. Let's continue with that quarterback injury theme, the Cowboys and the Saints. Cowboys without Dez, Romo, Witten, they collapsed in the fourth quarter against the Falcons. The Saints, they still don't know about whether Drew Brees is going to play with that bum shoulder. If I'm betting, I'm not touching this game at all. How do you see it?
I wouldn't touch it either. I mean, indications are, and we'll see today what happens after airtime, that Drew Brees is practicing, but it's limited in his throwing. And every time you deal with the rotator cuff is what he has, that's a dangerous situation. I mean, one hit, yeah. Obviously any hit in any game and you're out, but that's a long process if that's a rotator cuff. If he continues to hurt that could be a 9 to 12 month injury. So they're going to be very concerned with moving forward. Then again, they're 0-3, and you go 0-4, and you're looking at next year's draft. So very important game for the Saints. But you asked me, would I touch this game if I was betting it? Zero chance I touch this game.
All right, Jags are at Indy with a banged up Andrew Luck. It looks like he is going to play. What are you hearing?
I'm hearing two things. I hear it's a contusion, and I also hear it's the rotator cuff. And that rotator cuff, anyone you've known that's had that injury, yeah, that had the surgery, that's one of the worst rehabs ever. And it's painful, and it's long, and you know it's horrific when it's a pitcher of your favorite Major League Baseball team. But when you're a quarterback and you have different kind of throws and different kind of motions, it's even more horrific in your timetable. So they're going to watch that and they're going to monitor that. But I think he's going to play. But again, if you're the Colts and you are in it, you saved your season last week, and you have the Jaguars coming in, Matt Hasselbeck is their backup. Can they win that game? Yeah, but the more important thing is, if it is a rotator cuff, I guarantee you that they're going to be very careful with Andrew Luck moving on.
Let's talk a little bit more about these injuries things here. Stick with the Colts here. I'm hearing a lot of talk on sports radio knocking the Colts GM, Ryan Grigson, for doing little to upgrade that mediocre front line in front of Luck. I got to agree with that.
Well, I do too, and I think they use the core of their off-season free agency money to go after guys like Frank Gore and Andre Johnson, who've had great careers, Andre Johnson with the Texans and, of course, Frank Gore with the San Francisco 49ers, John. But they did little to upgrade that offensive line, and I think the reason why you're seeing a lot of teams turn around this year is the offensive line is a core to your football team. Not your defensive line, your offensive line.
Absolutely.
When you can run the ball and keep your quarterback upright, then you win games. And Andrew Luck is getting hit more than he's ever got hit. He's got to force the balls, and they can't get their running game going, hence their 1-2 start. I mean, Ryan Grigson is getting a lot of heat for other things. He's a guy who turned all the evidence, or supposedly evidence, about the two guys, Jastrzemski and McNally, with the Deflategate, and started this whole thing with Tom Brady, which we could talk about in a little bit. Is really pissed off the Patriots, and look how they're playing. So Grigson's got a lot, is on the hot seat for a lot of things. But you're right, he hasn't upgraded his team. Chuck Pagano's on the hot seat, and they're supposed to. This is the fourth year of Andrew Luck, and they've moved forward every single year. They got to the AFC Championship game last year, and they're the favorites to go to the Super Bowl. And right now, they look like just maybe a hopeful to make the playoffs because they're in a lousy division. We'll see.
Talking about the injuries, and we just talked about a lot of them, are these injuries making these games less interesting?
No, I don't think so, because you saw a great backup performance by Luke McCown of the Saints last week. He threw for over 300 yards, and a lot of these guys are coming in, and the NFL has that philosophy, like anything, next man up, and you're seeing some great play from some of these guys. No, you know, Luke McCown is not a Drew Brees, and Brandon Williams obviously not a Tony Romo, but the players did it to themselves, and you and I have talked on previous shows. In the last collective bargaining agreement back in 2011, John, they collectively bargained they could only be in pads 14 times a year. And I've heard on numerous radio shows, and I've talked to numerous people like John Clayton and other sources I have, you need 3 weeks of pad practice, 3 weeks of pad practice from minicamp to the start of the first preseason game to get yourself in shape. They're only getting 14 pad practices in. So you're seeing a lot of these injuries happen because they're not getting hit. They're not getting ready to get hit. You're turning hamstrings and calves, and guys aren't coming in shape. So not making it less interesting. They did it to themselves. I wouldn't be shocked because there's a window here in the offseason to renegotiate this part of the contract that the owners demand and tell these guys, look, we're paying for you, and the fans are paying for a product, and because you don't want to get hit, it could be suffering. But they look at this issue and they get it fixed.
All right, Jets Dolphins playing across the pond on early Sunday morning, a confusing time in a confusing game. The Jets gave the Eagles their first win last week. I don't know if the Eagles were good or the Jets just sucked. The Dolphins, they get beached by the Bills in a trouncing last week. Lots of talk of Joe Philbin, their head coach, may be gone soon. I got the Jets in this one.
I got the Jets, too, because I'm always a defensive guy. I was shocked at that performance. I was shocked at the Buffalo Bills. Went down to Miami. It was 92 degrees with 88% humidity. And if you've ever been down there in that, it's hard to breathe, walk, do anything. I mean, you think about it. I bet you the guys didn't even shower. Most guys shower before the game and put the odor on. I guarantee they just went with their stink from the hotel room because why would it matter? And what really stinks is the fact that Ndamukong Suh signed the biggest free agent contract for any defensive player, and you haven't heard his name mentioned once in the first three games. Joe Philbin is the first guy I have on the hot seat, and the first guy maybe getting the axe this season because they lose to the Jaguars and collapsed in the fourth quarter. And the problem with that team is they're always collapsing in the second half, which is a sign of bad coaching. I got the Jets, too, and this could be the end of the Joe Philbin era.
All right. Giants go to Buffalo, we just mentioned. I think the Giants have kind of turned the corner, but I still think the Bills and that defense is real. If Rex would stop obsessing over Belichick and the Pats. I still got the Bills in this one.
You know, some guys just can't keep their mouth shut. And I mean, he's four. What is he now? 4-14 against Bill Belichick. Let it go.
Yeah.
Bill Belichick is the best coach in NFL, not named Vince Lombardi. I'm serious. Second best coach I've ever seen. And I was alive when Vince Lombardi. I mean, what were you in your 20s back when he was coaching? You know. Hey, John. By the way, what was it like? What was it like, John, when they're delivering milk by a horse in a carriage? I mean, you must have loved the NFL back in leather helmets, but you got
to
stop obsessing over.
I used to scrape the cream off the top, yes.
Yeah, well, now you use it for your hair gel. Now, stop obsessing over Belichick and the Pats. I got the Bills, too, but you know what? This could be one of the. There's always an upset every week. This could be an upset special. I mean, don't be shocked if the Giants go in there and win.
Yeah, I would, and at the same time, too, you know, you understand why Rex doesn't win the big one sometimes. He just gets, you know, distracted by what I call shiny objects. So I wouldn't be surprised at that either. But I still think I like their defense, even though what the Patriots did to them, I still think that they got a good one there. And I just don't know about the Giants. I think they turned the corner last week, and, you know, Eli seems to have his head in the right place. And I thought the Giants' defense was actually really good, and I don't expect that defense to do much.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay. Raiders 2-1 at the Bears. What a gift for Oakland fans. Now, the defense was a little bit suspect, I thought, against the Browns. Still love their offense. But the Bears, they seem to be getting less talented. I definitely have the Raiders in this one, even though they're on the road.
Yeah, you know, I'm funny. I'm a Raider junkie, and I watch this team play religiously. I don't miss a play. In the first 3 weeks, their defense is still ranked 30th in the league, and that's just a big red flag when you're playing any game.
Mm-hmm.
That being said, two things happened last weekend in two different games. The Chicago Bears played the Seattle Seahawks, and they punted on every single possession.
Yeah.
In another game where New England played the, well, in another game, John, where New England played the Jacksonville Jaguars, New England never punted. The Raiders are playing the team that punted on every possession. That helps a bad defense. But I'm hearing reports that Alshon Jeffrey and Jay Cutler are going to play in this game, and that vastly improves the Bears. So if the Raiders are for real and they're making the turn, they win this game. I like the Raiders in this game. But again, they had a 27-10 lead on the Browns. And Browns fans, my son Max went to that game. He flew from Vegas to sit in the dog pound and watch the Raiders play. He's a diehard Raider fan like myself. And the Raiders win the game. And the Browns fans are cordial. And they're screaming for Johnny Manziel. McCown had a phenomenal second half in that game.
Yeah,
threw for 362 yards. So the Brown fans are stupid. Sorry. I know you got a rabid fan base, but Johnny Manziel wasn't the answer. You had no defense. And as long as Derek Carr and Amari Cooper could amass over 400 yards, that team with Davis Murray, they're going to keep in games where their defense is suspect. So, yeah, I haven't beaten the Bears this weekend, but if the Bears won, no one would be shocked in the Raider Nation.
All right, let's touch on something here with the Bears as well. They seem to be acting like a baseball team at the trade deadline. They trade Jared Allen. Now there's talk they may dump Matt Forte in a trade. Is the NFL getting like the Major League Baseball in a way?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you're always looking about what your salary cap number is, and they're all, by doing this, and they also, I couldn't believe they traded John Bosick to the Patriots. That was their leading tackler in 2013, and then he goes to the New England Patriots. How happy is that guy? You go from a team that's definitely not going anywhere this year, and you're going to a team that's probably going to be in the Super Bowl. And you look at your salary cap, you think, okay, what is it? Maybe between 155 and 160, and you're already over. Now you're shaving the dollars off that cap for next year. And you're also jockeying for the fact you're probably going to have a top five pick. John Fox is saying, you know what? I look at our schedule after the Raiders, and it doesn't look promising. I'm looking at a team that could probably win 3-4 games. Let's get rid of all these guys that are a little older, although the Bosick move didn't make any sense. It is Matt Forte. But, yeah, it's getting like baseball, and you're going to see some other team. You're going to see the Saints start doing the same thing. You saw yesterday Drew Brees renegotiate his contract to get more money under the cap so they could sign players closer to the trading deadline. So, yeah, it's becoming Major League Baseball. Because look at it this way, John. We're heading into the quarter mark of the season. This is the fourth week of the season. It's amazing how fast it goes.
Yeah. So does this have to do with the collective bargaining agreement that we're seeing this acting like baseball?
No. They've always done that. You've always had a salary cap. You've always known the general manager will always know where you're at going into next year, what it counts against the cap. The reason why Robert Griffin III isn't playing, because if he plays and gets injured, or he plays a certain amount of snaps, they owe him $16 million and also $22 million against the cap because there's a bonus there. It's all business right now. Robert Griffin III is probably a better quarterback than Kirk Cousins or Colt McCoy on that roster right now, which isn't saying much. But he's not playing because it's all about salary cap.
Well, listening to The John Daly Show, you can follow all of our sports stuff on Twitter and Facebook at John Daly Sports. We are talking with Eric Snyder. He is the author of a book on the Raiders and Raider Nation. You can also hear him on the Power Hour on Fox Sports Radio 1340 in Las Vegas. Let's talk about the Browns and the Chargers, both 1-2 going nowhere. The Vegas books have the Browns at 30,000-1 now to win the Super Bowl, and they have the toughest remaining schedule. I was floored by that.
I'm sorry to cut you off. And they play, if you're in the last man standing pool, take the Chargers. The Chargers have been disappointing. Their defense looks horrible, and Phillip Rivers is throwing picks at the most inopportune times. So they play the Browns this Sunday in San Diego. And here's a question I do have. Even though Josh McCown's 106 years old, it's been in the league forever, why aren't you playing Johnny Manziel? This is when you play your young guy. You have to get the reps on these young guys. You're not going anywhere. So there's a little red flag there, and maybe they see something in Manziel that we don't. The Chargers aren't as bad as their 1-2 record. And the next two games, John, are obviously the Browns on Sunday. Then they play the Pittsburgh Steelers at home with Michael Vick. So I see the Chargers having a winning record after week 5.
All right. Let's get into some of the 3-0 teams. Falcons 3-0 host the Texans. They're 1-2. Falcons have the easiest remaining schedule. I'm loving Matt Ryan and Julio Jones. Still suspect on their defense. So I'm going to go with the Falcons in this one.
So am I. And I love the fact they've turned it around. But Dan Quinn, who's a defensive coordinator of the Seattle Seahawks during this great run, goes to the Seahawks, and their defense is ranked down in the lower 20s, in the upper 30s with the Raiders. which is really you scratch your head. Jack Del Rio coaches the Raiders, has a top five defense with the Broncos, and the Raiders defense stinks. So I think it's a funny thing to look at if these defensive coordinators go to different teams and their defense stinks. But you're right, they do have Matt Ryan, and Julio Jones was such a beast. What did he have? 206. What did he have? Oh, he just torched the Cowboys defense last week, and they're in a division right now with the 3-0 Carolina Panthers. The 3-0 Carolina Panthers, that's your neck of the woods. You live down there. They have a top 10 defense. If you're asking me to handicap that division right now going into the quarter mark of the season, it's obviously the Carolina Panthers. But I like Matt Ryan going against the Texans and going to 4-0.
All right, Bengals entertain the Chiefs. The Bengals, are they sneaky good, or did they lose their first game to the Chiefs at home?
I don't think they're sneaky good. I think they're good. I think they're showing what they always show, is that Andy Dalton and Giovanni Bernard and Jeremy Hill and I was thinking about A.J. Green and when I was talking about the Julio Jones. A.J. Green had 262 yards against the Ravens, which you and I can probably get that, but they look great. Look great on defense. And Andy Dalton, what a great quarter comeback that was on the road in the divisional game. And I don't know what it is with the Chiefs. Is it the fact that Andy Reid is one of these coaches that may be the Marty Schottenheimer of our era right now, that wins a lot of games in regular season, loses in the playoffs? I think Alex Smith is taking a step back. Obviously had two very bad games with the Denver game and that Thursday night debacle, and then last Monday night against the Green Bay Packers. I like the Bengals at home. I wouldn't be shocked if they won this game by two touchdowns.
All right, Packers go to the Niners. After last week, you would rate this a walkover for the Packers, but I don't think the Packers is dominant on the road. However, I don't think the 49ers can be that bad. I see this as a good game, but I think the Pack wins.
Again, the Pack's defense. Their defense is 25th in the league, and that's always been their crutch going into the playoffs. Is Aaron Rodgers, I mean, you know, you listen to all these radio shows, and we do our research, and the big poll question all throughout the week, John, was if you had to win one game, would you take Tom Brady or Aaron Rodgers? And I thought, hands down, right now it's Aaron Rodgers. Because of his feet. The guy has the best feet. I've never seen a guy with the better pocket presence. I'll give you another guy. I'll go old school on him. The one guy had great pocket presence, and he had to because his height was that of an Oompa Loompa, was Fran Tarkenton.
Yeah.
And this guy reminds me of Fran Tarkenton, for all your old listeners out there like me, in your in the pocket. And that's why the Pat's going to win a lot of games, because this guy is just something special. We're watching something special right now in our lifetime with him and Tom Brady in the game. The Niners last week, what an abomination. I mean, abysmal. I mean, come on. Colin Kaepernick, 97 yards passing. First two picks are pick sixes. They look so great in their first game against Minnesota and have just dropped two eggs in their last two games and looked horrible. So, yeah, I think the 49ers come back and make it and look respectable, but the Packers still win by 10 points.
Yeah, you were talking about the Cardinals. This is the best team in football right now. They have the Rams at home. That's usually a pretty good game, but the Rams, to me, look really lackluster and clueless at times versus Pittsburgh. I think the Cards roll big in this one.
And, you know, it's interesting how the Rams, in their opening game win over the Seahawks at home, put up 34 points, and Nick Foles is throwing the ball, and you get great running from Trey Mason.
Yeah.
And now they get Todd Gurley back, who I think is one of the best running backs to cover the draft in a long time, and they can't do anything on offense. And their defense, obviously, they lost 12-6 to the Steelers. Their defense is a terrific defense at Robert Quinn and Long, a great defense back there. But the Cardinals are the best team in the NFL, not named the New England Patriots right now. And sometimes I think we should just shut down the season and make it a Cardinals versus the Green Bay Packers in the championship game for the chance to play the Patriots in the Super Bowl. Cards roll big. You're right. I love them big this weekend.
Okay. Broncos, another 3-0 team. They face the resurgent Vikings. I think this could be a really good game. Adrian Peterson getting back into form, but I watched the Broncos beat the Lions on Sunday night, and I thought Peyton was brilliant. Not with his arm, but with his mind, his play calling, how he set up his protection to win that game. I'm not going to pick him in the playoffs, but during the regular season, he still has it. I think I'm going to go with the Broncos in this one.
Wow. Whew, tough game. I mean, I had a tough time picking San Diego, Minnesota last week. Minnesota rolled them. I'm going with the Broncos, too, again. I know it's bad to say the same thing over again. I'm a big defensive guy, and the Broncos' defense has kept them and have shut down every single opponent they've played. They shut down the Ravens. Flacco's having a great year. Shut them down. Week two, they shut down Alex Smith in the second half, made Jamar just had great hitting. Look what they did to the Lions, who to me is one of the most disappointing teams out there. In Detroit, they made Matt Stafford look like a bad high school quarterback. So I got the Broncos going, too. I may have the Broncos right. going to 4-0.
Okay. What games have we missed that you want to highlight?
One game. Philadelphia and Washington, a key division game. Mm-hmm. I think DeSean Jackson's going to play. And everyone's saying, okay, Philadelphia's back. Well, that was a comedy of errors against the Jets. And Brandon Marshall made a play in that Jet game for the listeners where he caught the ball and he just tried to lateral back. He's going down. He threw right to the Philadelphia Eagle guy. And, again, Bradford had a decent game, but only threw for 118 yards last weekend. And Washington's one of these weird teams. They were in the Giants game. They beat the Rams, looked great. So that's the one game I want to highlight is a divisional game that a lot of pundits are picking the Philadelphia Eagles to win. Don't be shocked, John Daly Nation, if the Redskins win that game.
All right. You're listening to The John Daly Show. You can follow all of our sports stuff on Twitter and Facebook at John Daly Sports. We're talking with Eric Snyder. He is the author of a book on the Raiders and Raider Nation. You can also hear him on the Power Hour on Fox Sports Radio 1340 in Las Vegas. Time for some fantasy. Give me your quarterback for this week.
Aaron Rodgers. Horrible.
Okay.
San Francisco defense right now, and Eddie Lacy's a little banged up. We don't know what's going on with him. Aaron Rodgers. I would take Aaron Rodgers or Tom Brady every week, but Tom Brady's on a bye week. He was on a bye week last week against the Jaguars.
Okay, running back.
Le'Veon Bell. It's going to be a heavy rush night tonight for the Pittsburgh Steelers against Baltimore. Baltimore's defense is, like we said earlier in the segment, is horrible. I like Le'Veon Bell to have a big game.
You were thinking Monte Ball, weren't you? Because he might be going to the Patriots. That's what you were thinking.
Yeah. Ball, Bell. If his first name's Le'Veon, take him.
Wide receiver.
You know, this is a tough one. Obviously, I would take Antonio Brown if Big Ben was there. But he's not.
Okay. Yeah.
I absolutely love A.J. Green going against the Chiefs. The Chiefs couldn't stop anyone. The Chiefs allowed 5 touchdown passes, and they're having big problems with injuries in their secondary. And A.J. Green tore up Baltimore, and he's hot right now to Andy Dalton. I'd go A.J. Green.
Okay. Tight end, you picked from the Browns last week. He actually had a pretty good week, too, and I'm drawing a blank on his name now. Who do you got this week?
Tyler Eifert. The Cincinnati Bengals.
Mm-hmm.
That leads the league, and the Bengals are very a big time tight end oriented offense, and I think they're going to just pick apart that Chiefs defense, and they're going to do it in a lot of ways.
Okay, give me your kicker.
Oof! Wow. I'm going to stick with it. I had him last week. I'm going all the way. I'm going Sebastian Janikowski. I don't want to jinx him. He hasn't missed a kick yet. He's always in the top 5 in fantasy, and I think the Raiders right now are not doing they're not as red zone efficient as they could be, and they're suffering a lot of field goals. I'm going Janikowski.
Okay, and the defense.
I'm going to go to Seattle Seahawks. I think the Seahawks defense right now with getting look, they got Cam Chancellor back last week, John. Look at that hat. Look what the Bears did. I mean, and now that the Lions are going in there, they're a beat up team emotionally and morally, morale wise, and. Just scratching their head, so I like the Seattle defense.
Okay, last man standing. I took the Seahawks at your suggestion. It worked out. How about this week?
The San Diego Superchargers. They're at home against the Browns. The Browns gave up almost 500 yards in offense against the Raiders. You got to think that Phillip Rivers and Melvin Gordon and Antonio Gates and Keenan Allen and that's a talented offense and get on track against the Browns.
All right. Well, another great week. He is Eric Snyder. He is the author of a book on Raiders and Raider Nation. You can also hear him on the Power Hour on Fox Sports 1340 with Pauly Howard in Las Vegas. Wojcik, another great one. Thank you.
Thank you so much, John. Have a great week.
All right, buddy. Thank you. And you can follow me on Twitter and Facebook at John Daly Sports. We'll catch you next time. Enjoy the games, folks.
For more on John Daly, including his blog postings and instructional videos, go to informnotinflamed.com.